Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
After the racially charged Laquan McDonald case, black kid, white cop, 16 shots, you know the story. Activists angry, racial politics all over the town. Just imagine if the Cook County Republicans, for a fundraiser, brought in some alt-right white guy, some flamethrower, for a GOP fundraiser. Like that Milo Yiannopoulos? Or maybe Steve Bannon, a certified fire breather. The media in this town would be all over it. They'd be in the faces of the Cook County Republican Party demanding that they rescind the invitation so as not to inflame our politics. But hey, mayoral candidate and Cook County Party chairman Tony Taxwinkle and our honorary co-chair, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, are holding a fundraiser. And you know who the guest speaker is, don't you? Maxine Waters. Oh yeah, the Democratic flamethrower. And the media? Crickets. It's October 11th at the Hilton. Tickets start at $200, but you can pay thousands more to rub elbows with Anti-Maxine. Okay, call me weird, but I just can't let those J.B. Pritzker toilet bowls go. The thing is, why did he let his wife take the fall for it? That's what gets me. And the liberal Daily Beast is worried about the way the Democrats handled the Brett Kavanaugh burning at the stake. There are growing fears, says the Daily Beast, among Democrats, that the epicenter of national political conversation has moved away from friendly terrain and that Republicans have become energized by the Kavanaugh fight. You think? But then, what about Illinois? Is Illinois energized by the Kavanaugh fight? Or are we just going to roll over for Boss Madigan? The big critical news is my wife, Betty. She wants me to take her to The Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And I'm feeling, can I get out of this and pull a fast one so we can see Venom, the evil superhero movie with Tom Hardy? Analyzing this is our special guest, Christian McQuarrie, Tribune columnist and member of the vaunted Chicago Tribune editorial board, which in its wisdom has endorsed Bruce Rauner. And Jeff Carlin, my buddy and co-host, executive producer of The Rokon Show. Yeah, he's the one who dropped in the Jason Bourne music in the last podcast. Epic, Jeff. And me, John Cass, husband, father, Chicago mayoral candidate, though I live in the suburbs, and nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And you know where you are. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Yeah, you know where you are. You're on the Chicago Way. Christian McQuarrie, Jeff Carlin. Find us on iTunes. Please write us a kick-ass review or wherever you find your podcasts. Subscribe free and listen to what's really going on behind the blue iron curtain of Mike Madigan in Illinois. Kristen, welcome again.
Hi, John Cass and Jeff Carlin. How are you?
Hello, Kristen.
Hello. So much going on this week.
Oh, my God. I mean, just this week.
Right.
So anyway, the Daily Beast is all worried that a liberal newspaper or liberal online site, I don't know what those are. Are there liberals directing the media these days? But they're worried that the Kavanaugh thing has energized the Republican Party, that the Democrats have bitten off too much, that they may have overextended themselves and energized Republicans, particularly Republican women, mothers of boys, wives of husbands, men, I know that's odd to say.
Wives of husbands. Okay, yes.
You know what I mean?
Understand.
I just want to get it straight.
Right.
I don't want to diss anybody.
Right.
But in Illinois, Kristen, are people energized this way?
I'm actually not seeing it. I'm seeing that the Kavanaugh hearings have even infused more frustration, anger on the Democratic side, and especially with Democratic women. If there was any chance that they were going to sort of lie low, I see more of an enthusiasm from that side than I do energizing Republicans who believe that this was, you know, a witch hunt. That's just what I'm seeing, and more. It's so important in the November 6th election for Illinois voters to separate what is happening at the federal level from what is happening at the state level. And you can, if you want to wear your pink hat and you want to be outraged about Kavanaugh and all that, that's fine.
Is that what toxic femininity is? I'm just wondering because I don't want to get castrated. Really, I don't. And I don't want to be burned at a stake. But I think that Kavanaugh was treated unfairly.
Sure, yes, and our editorial board recommended that he be confirmed, but just the vitriol that is coming from the feminist movement, from mm-hmm. women, and especially directed at conservative women. I don't know that there is a more hated demographic right now than conservative women who back Kavanaugh or who believe in some of Trump's policies, or who at the state level support Rauner or some of these other candidates who are running on a more conservative platform to save Illinois.
Because they don't count and they should be shamed and silenced.
We're somehow traitors if we don't go along
you
with
are.
The gender identity politics. And it does drive me nuts because every discussion that we have, there is always this assumption that because I have ovaries, I believe a certain thing. And it just gets exacerbated with things like the Kavanaugh hearings. I actually believe that if you are going to take someone down, ruin their career, not nominate them to the Supreme Court, you need more than one person's word against another person.
Oh my
it's
God.
Really, really simple to me. And you can reverse the genders. This could have been a woman sitting there in the chair and a man making an accusation.
Oh my God.
It could be an African-American defendant on the south side of Chicago facing a criminal proceeding. That person deserves due process.
Just imagine if there was an African-American in the spotlight. And you took the, I guess, crimes committed by African Americans. There's stats on this in terms of street crime, and you applied that to this person. That would be racist, intolerant. It would be everything the Democrats hate.
The ACLU would be all over it that this person's rights were being.
I suggest that everyone read "To Kill a Mockingbird." Jeff Carlin, do you think liberals should read To Kill a Mockingbird to remember what they thought of due process and the rights of the accused?
I think everybody should read To Kill a Mockingbird, John.
This is what, don't you feel though, that
yeah.
like people just have blind, you're on one side or the other on this. You do think that he got due process. You do think, you know.
Oh, it's not a job interview.
It's not.
I mean, it's not a criminal case. It's a job interview.
Right.
We've heard all of it.
Temperament. You can accuse someone of being a gang rapist, and if they get upset, there are colleagues of mine who say that because you got upset when you were accused of being a gang rapist, or was it throwing ice at a bar or a party, you should withdraw.
I can't believe that even people who want to see him not be the next Supreme Court justice, people who are consider themselves hardcore Democrats, can't recognize the absolute circus that this was, and that they are legitimately using yearbook things to disqualify him. They actually, you have Anderson Cooper on CNN and high profile Democratic senators who are accomplished and smart, and maybe many of them are lawyers.
They don't care.
And they actually think that a 17-year-old's yearbook is somehow like admissible
they
or matters.
They don't care. The problem is they don't care. And what they're doing is it's amazing. They are driving people who don't like Trump towards Trump. They are driving, this is about power. And the casualty besides Democratic credibility is, I think, and this is for Jeff Carlin, because we'll let Kristen off the hook. Jeff Carlin, I think a great casualty of all this is my business. My colleagues, and including some at the Tribune, get very upset when I refer to this group that we're in as the Democratic media complex. But I cannot see it any other way now that people actually report allegations without foundation that Brett Kavanaugh, 36 years ago, had quaaludes and was dropping them in the punch bowl so there could be gang rapes of girls by a witness, a complainant, who went to a series, 10, I think, gang rape parties. I just don't understand how you can even put that near a microphone or near a newspaper and not think that you're hurting journalism.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we've learned anything since 2015, 2016, it's that, you know, or even in the age of the internet, I mean, click sell, you know, the truth doesn't matter. I mean, the truth doesn't sell. It's terrifying to see this and to think about that whole idea that at any time one single person, one citizen could be taken down by one thing, if as long as there's enough organization behind it, one accusation. As long as
what does
enough,
it mean for our business?
We keep proving the right to be correct. I mean, and this does not apply to people at the Tribune. I'm just saying, like, I didn't see this while this was unfolding, but on Twitter, while Dr. Ford, when she concluded her testimony, the immediate rushing to her defense, I believe her, from reporters in Washington and around the country who are going to be having to cover this story openly before Brett Kavanaugh has even been seated at the Senate table to give his side of the story. You have all these people in the media rushing to her defense, and I believe her, and she's credible, and hold on. Right. I mean, that is not what journalism is supposed to be. We are supposed to hold back and be contrarian and not go with that mob mentality. And we just keep getting proven over and over again that we are less and less capable of it. And this, to me, was another example. Like, let him at least hear his side. So many journalists came to this already with their minds made up and then posted it everywhere on social media.
Yeah. I mean, social media, we've talked about this before. I think social media is going to be the downfall of our republic, because people don't think that through. I mean, if it's one thing to be, you know, you're off, you're not working, you're with a group of friends, you're having a cup of coffee, having a beer, whatever, and you're saying, you know, she was really believable. I really think that in this case, she's telling the truth.
But you wouldn't say that on a radio program.
Well, but that's my point.
Now people just say it.
Well, that's my point, is that now that social media, I don't trust anybody who puts their opinion on Twitter and then tries to report. Like, I'm done. I don't believe you. No. I'm not going to believe what you're tweeting, and it's just...
What about columnists?
Well...
Tweet, you know, interviewed Kevin Graham and listened to the podcast and I work out the Matt Damon column.
Well, but that's different.
We're columnists. We are paid
right.
to have an opinion.
Okay.
Totally
okay.
separate.
I'm going to get that straight.
For reporters is what I'm,
right.
what I'm referring to.
And I know that we all get dumped into the same bucket, and I get that. Who cares? But it is a distinction in our business.
Yes, it is.
My actual job is to form an opinion and share it.
Look at facts and form an opinion.
Yes. That is not the job of straight up news reporters, but all of that has gone out the window with the people like Jim Acosta and others in the press room who openly
cheerlead for one side or the other.
Yes. So we're so far down the road. I don't know that we can even backtrack at this point, but the idea that somehow your position on whether Brett Kavanaugh should be nominated is translated into your opinion of women in general, that we don't care about women or that we don't care about sexual assault, is absolutely ridiculous.
You don't care about a woman's right to choose if you are with Kavanaugh. And really, the larger thing is, to me, besides the destruction of the what we used to call the media and is now really tribal chanting, is what's happened to the republic. We're fighting over this. The fight over Kavanaugh represents to me a bad, terrible fact about American politics, which is the Supreme Court is too powerful. It is too powerful. It wasn't set up to be this thing where I'm a legislator, I can't get my birth control legislation through or my pro-abortion legislation through or my pro-life legislation through. So I'll go to the Supreme Court and get a win and force what I couldn't get through legislation onto the American people. By doing that, by the Democrats, and I know people think I'm a conservative, and you know what? They're right, but for this reason. For years now, since Roosevelt, the Democrats have centralized the federal authority so that everything the president does is about power. And the presidency becomes imperial. Congress doesn't do its job, right or left, Republican or Democrat. They cede power to the president all the time. And as a result, the Supreme Court becomes elevated and more powerful than it should be. And we are fighting over the reason why they're beat the hell out of Kavanaugh is because it's about their power or someone else's. There's a solution. People say we should have solutions. Here's mine. States' rights. We have to figure out a compromise nationally. And I think, as always, I go to the Constitution. States should have more powers, less, and the federal government should have less. And then if I don't like what's going on in Illinois, when the Madigan's fat boy becomes governor, raises my taxes after he lied about it, and I got to take toilets out of my house and live in the...
We're doing showers at my house. Yeah, you know, we're going to start with the shower and see how much that brings down the tax bill.
I could go to Indiana, which is probably what I'm going to do. Live in a tiny house under the windmills in Indiana.
If you don't pay the power bill and the power gets cut off, does that count?
I don't think so.
No.
See, it had to be plumbing.
Okay, but what do you think? You think that's a compromise? Maybe we should look to the Constitution so that we don't have a civil war? Because it looks like we're going there.
I wouldn't say we're having a civil war. I think states do already have, since you're bringing up abortion, states have varying...
Sanctuary.
They have varying proposals of dealing with abortion. Some are very free. Ours are. You don't need parental consent. You don't need...
Taxpayer consent either.
Right. We have taxpayer funding. But there are other states that have gone down that road, you know, where they're trying to now inspect abortion clinics, bring them... So I don't particularly support those movements by a state government, but I also understand if that's what Texas wants to do, Texas gets to do. And I think this whole idea that somehow the Supreme Court is going to flip Roe v. Wade is just, it's a red herring. It's nonsense. What even if it did get overturned, it would empower states, and you will still have a strong movement to preserve abortion rights in many states. So it's a scare tactic. Chuck Schumer bringing it up, and it wouldn't actually happen. So this whole idea that we're fighting over Brett Kavanaugh for that reason, to me, is also just silly. It's politics.
It's what it is. It's power.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Power to the people.
Jeff Conlin.
I hate when you do that.
I know. Why do I do that?
I don't know. It's just like a crutch. Right,
we have
it's like
a
John's
thing.
Like, I don't know what I want to talk about next, but here.
Jeff Conlin.
Jeff Conlin.
What's your middle name, Jeff?
Peter.
Peter. So is it? So it's Jeffrey Peter Conlin.
JP at JP Conlin.
Right. That's right. Okay. So we're just, instead of doing Conlin,
we should say JP.
Jeffrey Peter Conlin. But the toilet
Browner.
Story. Let's talk about that for a minute. It kind of, to me, a lot of my Democratic friends on social media, again, we have so much going on in this country. Who cares about the toilets? You know what? It's not about the toilets. It's about character. Who does that? My face is getting very animated.
Yeah.
What billionaire takes the toilets out of his house? And how many were there? Like, you're revealing
four
you have,
five.
you know, 10 bathrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
An average guy has one. Who takes out the toilets of their home to reduce their tax burden, which then gets spread among everyone else, and then turns around during some of these debates, J.B. Pritzker, and talks about the need for property tax reform and how it's so crazy. Yes, because you just spread $350,000 that you owed.
On my back.
Onto our backs and onto the backs of people in Harvey and Markham and Robbins who are already paying the highest tax rates. Who does that? This is not about toilets. It is about character.
Not only that, two other things. I take my billions that I piss off my whole family because I demanded to get my money.
Put them in a coconut. Trust,
and I put them in the Grand Cayman Islands. Okay?
Yeah.
Number two. And number three, the report from the Cook County Inspector General mentioned Pritzker's wife.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Now, just on a gut level, what a wuss, JB. You should have stood up and said, it wasn't my wife, it was me. I don't care.
Even
I'm old school enough. Yeah. I'm old school enough. I've seen wives get blamed for things politically, and it really turns me off.
I think she was actually the recipient and the sender, though, of email.
You know
so
what
it was coming from her.
So
but still,
stand up, JB, and say it's me. My wife was just doing that because I asked her to.
She's
be
MK,
man.
Right? MK, yeah. Mary Catherine, I think.
Yeah, be a
okay,
man.
It's fair game. Yeah.
You Madigan Butler? I mean, why? Why don't you stand up for your wife? You don't want to stand up for taxpayers, stand up for your wife.
He's never really had to answer the question. And to be fair, Bruce Rauner also is terrible at some of these debates and answering questions about his own billions.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to blame Jay. He's like, I'm being outspent 3-1. Sit down, Mr. Rich Guy. Don't even, they're both just exposing themselves to really obvious soft spots.
Yeah,
you know?
But where JB, where Rauner gets questioned, JB doesn't. I mean, look, we had a hotel strike. Right?
Yes.
Were any reporters, just like I said about the Maxine Waters thing, they're not going to go to Tony and Rahm, no. They're not gonna, reporters aren't going to come up to them and say, hey, are you really having Maxine Waters here and Joe Berrios? Are you really doing that? No, they're not. They know they're not going to, because who wants to be mean? Who wants to be John Cass at the garden party?
Yeah, we're not very well liked. But she's, I mean, so Maxine Waters is the person who's out there stirring the masses to harass Trump supporters.
That's why we need that in Chicago after the Van Dyke thing. Let's have her here.
Can you imagine, though, if people just showed up at that fundraiser to throw ice at her or do the things that she has encouraged?
That would be terrible.
I mean, it's so juvenile. I can't believe we're at that point.
We're also at the point in our state politics. Kristen McQuarrie?
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Uh-oh.
Noelle, in case you need to stretch it out.
Right.
Kristen
We're going to have a state election for all these offices. Particularly, my thing is, if you vote for a Democrat running for state rep, you're really not voting for the Democrat. You might as well wake the bleep up and admit that what you're doing is you're voting for Mike Madigan to be the boss of Illinois.
Yes, there are some races where it's uncontested. So we're going to just see a flood of Democrats get reelected. But because of JB's money that is trickling down to all these races, the Democrats are more well-funded, staffed than ever before. They're sending out mailers that are completely over the top. I mean, really outrageous, accusing Republican candidates of supporting sex abuse of children, of being sexual predators, perhaps themselves, just like those shadowy kind of mailers that you get. So please, if you're listening and you get those, throw them in the garbage from both sides.
They're all approved by Mike Madigan and friends, by the way.
They are.
They look over those things and think this, because he writes the maps. He draws the legislative maps, so he knows the percentage of women and men and liberals and conservatives. He knows all that.
Yeah. People get annoyed with people like me and you. Maybe Jeff too, because we have gotten to a point where it even though there are good Democrats and you want people in Springfield who are going to challenge Mike Madigan, you want independent thinking Democrats in Springfield. It's gotten so bad in the state that I can't justify it. How could you want to increase the majority of the party that has had sole control since 2003 and look at how bad the state is being run? just under their
control.
Yeah,
they want to blame Rauner for everything.
I know. Listen, I'm not a huge Rauner defender either. He made a lot of mistakes, but he's the only person who has said no.
Yeah. And to back up his mistakes, I mean, we're talking mistakes of a guy who is a political novice walking into the bear den of a political machine that's been established in this state for generations. I mean, they've been working towards this power grasp, this stranglehold on the state. And so he has done some dumb things that have got him into a stalemate with a budget that lasted too long.
Bad stuff.
Right. And it's because he's going up against a Goliath. I mean, it's hard to call a guy who's a billionaire, the underdog, but he really was when he's going up against this Democratic machine in the state. And so people are saying, oh, look what he did, the terrible things that happened under him. Well, when you pull a Band-Aid off, it hurts like hell, but then you start to heal. I mean, that's how life is. And to say that this guy doesn't know what he's doing, no, it's because the other side knows what they're doing down to the moment, down to the second, down to the block of the map. I mean, that's the scary part. And they're then somehow using that against him. It's mind-boggling. And I like Rauner. I've met him, and we know him. We've talked to him. We had him on when he announced years ago. But it's, again, two billionaires.
I was accused of being his campaign chairman.
I know.
Oh, I get that all the time. Yeah. People will tweet at me like I'm his staffer.
Yeah.
There was a hashtag Rauner whore at one time about me. Nice. So that was nice.
That's very tolerant.
It is. Right. That's, I know.
How PC.
It's probably a woman with contracts at Midway Airport.
I didn't have anybody rushing to my defense either, by the way. I don't know. Where are all the pink hats when something like that happens? I don't know. They're nowhere to be found. But yes, the Democrats from the second Rauner got in 2015. They would not let him have a win. That is so important to remember. He put all of his agenda in bill form. A lot of it, people agree. I mean, everybody wants term limits. Everybody wants redistricting reform. The polls overwhelmingly show that. Yeah. Even Democrats realize we need things like workers' comp reform to keep businesses from leaving. All of that was in legislative form, and it got stuck in committees.
Madigan's committees.
Yes, and Cullerton's.
Yeah,
like so,
speaking of Cullerton, there was a, term limits.
I'm aware of term limits. I've heard of it, yes. Yeah. And other states have it, yes.
I remember you tweeted out. Yeah, Kristen tweeted out a Marianne Ahern story. And I read it, and I loved it, and I tweet. Because I often tweet out I wait to see what Kristen does before I do anything. And I follow
her. She's your canary in the coal mine?
Yes. And because it was woman-related. And, men can't act alone or think alone. But it was about commercials Democratic women had for who are running for office on term limits. What happened there? I mean, we all this stuff is flying and we forget the important stuff.
Well, this was a few weeks ago, but yes, there were, I think, three or four Democratic women running in the suburbs trying to flip seats, trying to take them away from Republicans. And they are Bridget Fitzgerald, who's running in the Western Springs LaGrange area, Ann Gillespie, who is running in the northwest suburbs, I want to say like Palatine, Rolling Hills. Rolling Meadows.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Laura Ellman, who I think is further out in Naperville. So they cut these commercials. They were all sort of stock commercials of them walking down the street and saying, I want term limits, even for legislative leaders, including Mike Madigan. So they mention him in this ad. And these are all women running for the state Senate.
Are they Democrats?
They're Democrats.
Yes.
So Madigan got so ticked that they had to pull those ads down. They had to reshoot them. And so they still talk about term limits, but they don't mention the speaker. So if you have any questions about where these women's allegiances eventually trickle down to or trickle up, it's right there.
Bridget Fitzgerald, I asked you this question in private, but I have to ask you now. Does John Cullerton, Democrat of the Leo, Senate president, does he have any relatives running?
Well, he has Tom Cullerton, who's already in the Senate, who is being challenged. And then Bridget Fitzgerald, who is the Western Springs Village clerk, I believe, is his second cousin. Yes. But
wouldn't you announce that in your commercials? Hey, guys. Hey, everybody in LaGrange in the Western area. Hey, I'm John Cullerton's cousin. Vote for me. Wouldn't you say that?
It doesn't really sell that well. And honestly, I don't know how much a second cousin once removed, how much of a relationship there is there, and she is trying to run her own campaign. She's okay. trying to be her own person. So
it's it's an Irish family, not a Greek family. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't see, and I look at all their campaign reports and their staff, I don't see that she's getting any special help, is what I'm saying, just because she's.
But she did take down her ad.
And they all said, it was, we had another ad ready to go. That was just part of the whole thing. No.
Nothing gets by Kristen McQuarrie.
Well, actually, I think it was Marianne.
Or Marianne.
Yeah.
Well, both.
Bow to Marianne. Yeah.
Listen, we shall bow to her in a moment. But first, I have to ask you, Kristen, you've been tasked. You know, one of the ways to become powerful in an organization is to do the jobs nobody else wants. And what Kristen has been doing is interviewing thousands of people who want political jobs.
This is a couple hundred.
Well, how's that been? You're interviewing the legislative candidates, right?
Yes, and some of the statewide candidates, yes. And some of them have refused to meet with me because I'm really scary. And actually, that's a whole nother story. But when I interview candidates, I am interviewing them for their constituents, for the Tribune editorial board. So while I obviously have personal views, you will see plenty of Democrats get endorsed by the Tribune. So this whole idea that
it's a total mistake. But anyway, go on.
I know. I hear what you're saying, but
it's not because I don't like Democrats.
No, yeah, the machine.
If we endorse Democrats for state legislative races, and then we beat up Mike Madigan. It's just, I don't know.
But because anyway, there are some good Democrats. And yes. Again, this is, I might not vote that way, but I am trying to represent. There's no reason if there is a super progressive liberal Democrat in the city who does good work, who wants to pass minimum wage, that is the reflection of their district. And if they're working hard, they will get our endorsement. But yes, my motto is I interview the politicians so you don't have to. So yes, I've interviewed close to 200.
What's that like?
You know, I don't mind it because it's a grind just in terms of I'm squirreled away in an office. Yes. Back to back phone calls, 30 minutes apart with lots of different candidates. But I don't know that there's anyone in the state, if there are other people who do this, who learn more about the state than someone like me, who I'm interviewing a cattle rancher in southern Illinois, a winemaker, a professor. And you just,
Do you interview any stupid brother-in-laws who got slated for the job? Go on.
Don't be mean, Cass. Okay. Did I meet your brother-in-law?
No, my brother-in-laws are brilliant.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we've met your brother-in-law.
But they're conservative.
Brothers-in-law, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That reminds me. Yeah, let's move to
Bring
food. Can we talk about food?
No, we don't hide anything here in Chicago.
So anyway, I'll just wrap up by saying it is interesting. You learn a lot about the state.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about what people care about in places like Mattoon and Cairo.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pronounce it correctly. Right. And East St. Louis. And so I really feel that it just
Calhoun
gives me
County?
A broader view. Yes.
Who's Cal? Because Peaches.
John.
Oh, my God.
Look at my hand. I'm pointing at you. And this is so rude, but I'm pointing at you. You have to find the best strawberries next in the spring, wherever, whenever. We cannot get good strawberries down by me.
No, because something happened to strawberries.
I don't know. It's your next project, okay?
It's the bees. Yeah, the bees have gotten sick.
They're not even strawberries anymore. I'm told they're some sort of genetic mutation of strawberry. They're not real, true strawberries.
Right. There's a lot that...
Okay,
podcast,
I want to see four columns. Mm-hmm. I want to see a road trip. I want to know where the best strawberries are. But here's what I was going to say. You know what I ate the other day about 3 weeks ago? Cass lamb. Uh-huh. The Easter, you sent me home with so much food that
Wait,
I stuck a bunch of it in the freezer. It was delicious.
It was ruined.
No, it was delicious.
Months.
It was still tender, and there were still little garlic cloves poking out of the lamb.
Because garlic for breakfast, you know.
It was outstanding. I almost took a picture of it and sent it to you guys.
It's so sweet. Now, let me ask, since we're doing non sequiturs, let me get to this. How do I get out of the Star is Born?
I don't think you should. Everybody's enjoying
it. She's going to kill me for bringing it up.
Yes, she will. But and my mom tells me never to say she, so Betty will
yes.
kill you.
Betty.
Yeah, everyone says it's good. I mean, it looks like it's interesting.
Better than a Venom?
Yeah.
Oh, what's it rated?
Venom looks terrible.
What's it rated? Is there a little nudity?
It's rated like 7 handkerchiefs.
Let's look it up.
It's the movie about a...
I'll go any... if there's nudity out on there.
There's what? Like Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt in 30 years ago, we went to see a movie
Body Heat? Is that?
No, it was Universal Soldier because my brother and I wanted to see Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah.
And Betty and Georgia, his wife, came with us. We were at the LaGrange Theater.
That came out of nowhere.
It was like a really good Shoot 'Em Up, basically androids versus humans.
Right.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme had to take a shower after he got shot about five times.
Right.
And
yeah,
there was a butt shot.
You gotta do something for the ladies.
There was a butt shot, and those two just shut up. Well, they were like talking about this and that.
Sure.
And then as soon as Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt was on the screen, I'm going to get killed. I will be killed now.
So it is rated R. I looked. So definitely go. What is the movie where Liam Neeson is?
You're so fine
taken?
To me.
Yes. What, no, it's a Scottish movie. Escaping.
Roy.
Yeah, Rob Roy.
Where they have sex on the against the
I'm just saying.
Gravestone?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. There's a scene I think where he's bathing in the beginning where it's just really nice.
It's middle, but he comes back from war and everyone is all happy and then
it's buttal nudity, not frontal nudity.
Well, yeah,
no, there's a little.
Thank God, really?
You can get a little peek. I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God, I didn't even go there.
That's funny because
I can't peek at
Neeson.
It was on one of the like old TV show like broadcasts because I only have an antenna at home and it was like WGN-3. I watched the whole thing. It was like 4 hours with commercials.
Wow.
That's
dedication.
Cable?
Yeah. No, I don't.
You just have antenna TV?
Yeah, but I mean, I have an Apple TV, so I can I pay for subscription pieces here and there for HBO when I want it or Hulu when I want it.
You cut the cord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, go to the movie. Go watch it. Bring a little. Go to one of the movie theaters where you can have a meal in the theater. So you can have a couple glasses of wine while you're watching it. No?
I hate that. I don't want to hear clinking and clanking of glasses and silverware. I could hear someone.
Distraction from the singing.
Against their teeth, like pulling their fork against their teeth while Bradley Cooper is deteriorating into some drunken stupor and she'll move on and become a star and he's going to be a loser.
Spoiler.
That is true.
I
did go to one of those.
It's been remade seven times, for God's sake.
I did go to the Block 37 has one of those theaters, and we did with my book club, and we ate while we watched a movie.
Did you see Book Club? Come on.
We didn't see Book Club, but it was Brooklyn. We had read the book, and then we went and watched the movie, and someone around me did order, like, roasted Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
I was like, come on, man.
Were they crunchy?
No, they smell.
They stink. It's so.
They
it's
have
not
a very. It's malodorous.
I guess I know not to serve them to Christmas.
No, I love
them at home. It's fine, but
for
in a
dinner
theater,
in your kitchen,
when
or,
you're, it's like mixing with the popcorn smell, and I'm kind of with you.
That's like fish in the microwave at your office.
I need some restaurant reviews. Now you got me hungry, Jeff. Kristen, give me a restaurant review. Where have you gone? What's good?
There's a new place in my neighborhood called Firewater. I think they have one maybe in Naperville or something. It's just really good bar food. And it's they have country music line dancing lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I will not partake in that part. But that's sort of my new favorite jaunt.
What kind of food do they have?
Everything. Really good burgers, really good barbecue, really good macaroni
potato
and cheese.
Potato skins and crap like that?
No, it's different. It's not your typical menu.
Oh.
So you can get, you know, like good fish tacos or a really good pork barbecue sandwich.
Like gastro pub, I believe is the phrasing for it. The Queenie's. It's the new venture at the United Center.
Hawks.
I know. Anything
Hawks. Hawks, Hawks, Hawks.
But it just opened. The stadium just opened. It's awesome. It's a supper club. It does, like, you name it. I mean,
The Levy's are cooking you dinner?
No. Well, don't knock the Levy's.
I love them personally, but
it's
not their food. I'm not.
They've come a very long way since the 90s. Oh, yeah. You should check
it. What are you going to call me, an old white man?
I might.
Clint Eastwood, just like Matt Damon?
Grandpa Cass.
Yeah. That's right.
That's my lot.
They've come a long way. But no, it's actually run by the same group that runs The Pony and a couple of other.
Queenie, so what's on the menu?
It's supper club, but it's American fare supper club. So there's, you know, hearty steaks and burgers and great fish. I mean, they do some really good sides. It's old school cocktails, kind of, with the
old
fashions pieces and stuff. I mean, it's really good. And it has a cool overlook where it overlooks the atrium at the United Center where they have the Jordan statue. And, you know, it's always open, so there's always something going on. The players may be going from the stadium to their offices.
You might see a player.
You could look into some of the offices. It's kind of cool. It's a pretty cool venue. And then, of course, pre and post game, it's open as well during the game. I highly
recommend. What about you, John? Any new haunts?
Yeah. A place that we've driven past 30 years, and Betty said, I'm never going in there. Never going in. It's called JC's Pub.
Oh, yes.
It's on First Avenue. And it always looked to me like a how you doing place, you know? How you doing? And I always wanted to go in. And Betty's like, no way, no way, no way. So finally, I scoped it out first for lunch. And I said, we got to go. She loved it. The food is great. Pork chops. I mean, yeah, there's, you sit in the bar, there's TV in the bar, there's booths. It's an honest, what do they say? It's a, they serve you an honest highball. Okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we can take Uber, so I like that.
Nice.
I'm like Mr. Uber now.
Yeah?
Because I want to have a few pops too, right?
Sure.
Exactly. I've been meaning to ask you, when you're on your way to the Fire Stadium, and so I don't know if this is actual like Bridgeview proper, but there's a Mexican fish place. Was that the place you talked about once where it's all like fresh seafood and it's very vibrant? It has pictures all
that's
over the
on
outside.
35th. That's on Archer, like at 35th somewhere, I think. Are on you? The way to the Fire, on the way. The place I go to, when I go to the Fire, Al-Bawadi.
That's where the dip came from, right?
Remember that garlic dip that you liked?
Yes.
In my house? That's where I got it. I get a whole type she. I mean, a big, like, you know.
Sheet pan.
Didn't I bring
you
something?
Did.
I went, here's how much I love Jeff Carlin. I drove there a couple weeks ago just to get you.
Yeah.
The Muthawama.
Muthawama, yeah.
And where is that?
87th and 87th, just two blocks west of Harlem, Al-Bawadi Grill, and JC's Pub is at First Avenue in the Stevenson in McCook.
And the fish place I think you were referring to, Chris, is the place out in Des Plaines, right?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah. Right, when he talked about that.
Oh, that's Boston Fish.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there is a place.
Fish as big as your head.
If you're taking Harlem North toward the Fire Stadium, there's some place that looks delicious.
Venetian Gardens.
Oh.
There's a place called Venetian Gardens on Roberts Road, and I've never been in there, but it looks like it's out of Vinci.
Oh.
In Vinci, it's the fictional town in True Detective 2 with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, you got to pass a few like one-hour motels around this area, but... Just
maybe
keep going.
Ricketts.
Just
I've been
keep
calling
going.
For Ricketts to do an interview. I'm calling as the Ricketts guy, the PR guy, to get do an interview because, you know, I want to see Ricketts by the fire. But that's another story.
Probably another story for another day.
Yeah, it's another story another day. For Kristen McQuarrie, Chicago Tribune editorial board, vaunted editorial board, and columnist for the Chicago Tribune, for Jeff Carlin, who hates... me to say Jeff Carlin, and who drops in all the killer sound on this podcast. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist, mayoral candidate, Cass for mayor, #. This has been another edition of your favorite podcast, The Chicago Way, on WGN+.